No, thank you guys. Again, thank you to the Matthew 28 Fund, to the elders, to our missions team for allowing me to go over there. It was a huge experience, and I hope that be able to continue on that. Looking forward to hopefully being able to sometime take Carolyn along on that 14-hour plane ride over across to the other side of the world. So big thank you to you guys for allowing me to do that. One of the things that we got to experience, Nick mentioned it, is having dinner in a foreign area, and that is an interesting thing. Dinner time can just be interesting in and of itself, really. It can be adventurous. Sometimes it's spent sitting on a couch in front of a TV. Sometimes it's out at a favorite restaurant. Some days the fire alarm and the dinner bell are the same thing. But meals are a powerful thing. They can bring some laughs. They can even bring some tension. When passing the roles gets a little too literal, there can be some fun times. I don't know if you grew up doing that, but in our house, sometimes it looked more like a football field than it did a dinner table as we'd throw the roles around. Sometimes when the pepper is a little too spicy, or when the milk is shooting out someone's nose, it can be a barrel of laughs. That was one of the things in Cambodia. There was this little hot sauce, this little red sauce. And we thought that it was going to be this great stuff. They have all sorts of amazing spices and amazing cooking out there. We scooped this into our porridge. Two scoops is way too much. It was great flavor. But by the time you swallowed, you had to be putting another spoonful in your mouth to be cooling it down. At the end of the meal, though, there were tears rolling down my face. But meals are opportunities. Meals can be from the microwave, from the oven, from the grill, off the shelf of a grocery store, or right out of the garden. But here's the question: can meals be a part of mission? The average American eats 2 to 3 times a day. That means that most of us will eat at least 730 meals this year. And for some, it's closer to 1,095 meals. And that doesn't include any snacks. In America, we've sped up the eating to an art form. One of the most popular avenues for getting a meal is called fast food. And there are days when we don't even get out of our vehicle to eat on the go. For meals at work, they can be eaten at the desk, maybe taking a quick break to run out and grab a bite and get right back to what you were doing before. Meals have become speedy deals, where it's how fast you can scarf down and go. And I wonder if part of that is because at times the dinner table can be a battlefield, a place where arguments ensue over topics ranging from a child not wanting to eat their broccoli to things like finances, talking about grades in school to political differences, even differences about basic walks of life. The question is, what did meals mean to Jesus? What did this time spent around a table mean to Jesus? Because when we look at our lives and when we look at the way that we live, God designed us and He made us, and so this basic need for food can be used as a mission field, can be used as a time to glorify Him, but what does that look like? Jesus had a variety of meals along the way, and it seemed that each took their own interesting turn. Last week we looked at the first few verses of a story in Mark chapter 2. Jesus walking along the lake, his life always on mission, a conversation and an invitation to a gospel message. But Jesus moves through the invitation into a welcoming meal. And that's part of our mission, is to carry it through. So once again, let's dig into Mark chapter 2. I hope you have your Bibles with you. I hope you're opening them up. Into Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and starting with verse 13, we see Jesus once again. Jesus went out beside a lake. It says, a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to him, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. See, this was a common occurrence and a common setting for Jesus to be sitting around the meal table. In Luke 19:10, we see that Jesus ate with Zacchaeus. In Luke 14, he ate with Pharisees, who usually we see he was at odds with. In Luke chapter 10, we read of Jesus sharing a meal with friends as he sat with Mary and Martha. Each of the Gospels share of the story of Jesus feeding over 5,000 people. Again, each of the four Gospels share the story where it's recorded where Jesus is eating with Simon, who used to be a leper. And not only that, but during the meal, they were met by an unlikely guest, joined by a woman whose mark on her life was that she was sinful. And Jesus shared a meal with his 12 closest friends on the night that he was betrayed, and the meal included the friend that would betray him. Jesus also shared a meal after he was resurrected. As Jesus walked with two disciples on the road to Emmaus and shared with them the scriptures, it wasn't until he shared with them a meal that they recognized who he was. The last story that we see in the Gospel of John is Jesus sharing a meal with Peter, the one who had denied him. And Jesus joins him in a meal once again and reinstates him and brings him back in to his family and sends him out. He says, I'm going to continue to use you. You see, through Jesus' story, there was a focus on more than just inviting people to a function. For Jesus, it was about welcoming new family into a relationship. Because for Jesus, each of these meals meant that you were carrying them through to a relationship. It was a time of joining together family. Jesus didn't see those that he did life with and casually ask how they were doing to get through a social interaction. Jesus cared. Jesus loved. Jesus was all about bringing others in to a family. In the time that Jesus lived, sharing a meal was something shared in love. It was a time where you made connection. And that's what Jesus brought with him when he came into the world. Galatians tells us that more than just making us family and sharing a meal with us, Jesus truly made us sons and daughters. He made us children. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, we are made children of God through Christ, and that is the mission that is passed on to us today. It's the mission of not just making friends, not just bringing people to a building, not just talking to people on the street, but truly bringing people in and making them family. It's our mission still today. It's about more than just people that you're going to see on a Sunday. It's about making that connection that when you see him there, there is known that there is a connection there and that you care for them and that you love them and that you truly treasure who they are. Maybe they're not the same people that you are. Maybe they don't do the same things that you do. Maybe they don't see life the same way that you see them. But Jesus calls us to look at the people who are gathering together with them and see that they are family, that they are sons and daughters of God, that they are his creation, that they are his masterpiece, and that when we gather together under the name of Jesus Christ, and it's the name of Jesus Christ that makes us all family and makes us all one, so that there's no longer Jew or Gentiles, there's no longer slave or free, there's no longer male nor female. In other words, there's no discrimination between anybody, but when you see each other at church and when you're sharing together in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, that you are made his children and you are made one in him. And too often we try to break those apart because of petty things. And too often we see people and we don't agree with something. And we treat them like outsiders. And we look at them and we see, how can they come to church? How can they be calling themselves Christians? They're sinners. In Jesus' day, it was tax collectors. In Jesus' day, they looked at him and they said, we don't agree with your lifestyle. We don't agree with your career choice. We don't agree with the fact that you're over there with the Romans, and so we're going to exile you. And they couldn't believe that Jesus would even associate with people that they didn't see fit to be in God's kingdom when Jesus looked at them. And he looked past their career choice. He looked past the sin that was in their lives. He looks at them and says, that's my son and my daughter there. And that's someone that I want to be in my family. And Jesus didn't say, hey, how are you doing? Jesus didn't get through so he could go on with the rest of his day. Jesus sat down and said, I love you. And I'm going to make you my family. And I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to spend time so that you know that you're treasured. And the people looked at Jesus and they thought, what in the world is he doing? Can't he see that they're different than us? And Jesus looks back at him and says, this is the design. This is why I came to call these people. Because these people need to know that they're loved. This is the mission that is carried out when those outside know that they are family. There may not be a drop of blood relation, but there was blood poured out so that they can be appointed into God's family. It's a gift that's passed on. From the book of Genesis on, God was all about bringing in the outsiders, the foreigners, the marginalized, the poor, the fatherless, the hurting, those entangled by life. Those were the people he was about bringing into his family. The early church saw their mission of one that reached out to the poor, the sick, the widowed, the orphan. They began to realize very quickly that those God came for wouldn't always talk like them, wouldn't always look like them, wouldn't always work in the same career field as them, that they wouldn't always be in the same social class as they were. And the crazy thing is that we see throughout the book of Acts and the letters to the New Testament that there were times when they didn't even worship the same. There were times when they didn't even agree on what laws, on what things God had set up, what interpretations of the Torah there were, what meat there was okay to eat, what laws still applied. They just knew that these were people God called to be family. And so they reached out. And so they loved. And so they built orphanages. So they built hospitals. So they brought people in that no one else wanted. They scooped up children from the street. They associated with people that were completely outside of their social class. They talked to people who were lepers. They had their arguments, but they came together in love. When they had a disagreement, just like a family setting, they had to sit down and they had to talk about it. They had to go to Scripture. They had to see what was being said and God's mission. They had to apply what was in store for them. They searched out and passed out and prayed out with humility until they could find out what the best course of action was. For Jesus, that part of it seemed to be a little easier. He seemed to know exactly what to say. He was God made flesh. But he still walked in it. He still came down and he saw the tax collectors and the sinners, some of the people that he fundamentally disagreed with, even the Pharisees, who oftentimes he was angry with for twisting his words and the words of Scripture, and he went to them and ate with them as well, made them family. Jesus sat down with the sick, with the sinners, because they were the ones that needed to know the love that God had for them the most. See, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they already figured God loved them. They thought, how could God not love me? But Jesus came and he showed that God's love extended to those who are outside of the bubble of what many thought was God's love. The mission that Jesus was on wasn't just to be visible to people, it was to save people. Jesus knew that there was a need there. And Jesus took care of the physical needs, but he knew that there was a spiritual need that were just as important. That scene where Jesus used this idea that it's the sick that are in need of a doctor, Jesus knew that there was work to do, not just to sit together and fill their bellies. It was to walk with them. It was to teach them. It was to bring them into a relationship, a true relationship. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't seem to care much about the number of people around him. Jesus actually ran off some of the people with the company that he kept. But Jesus cared about those in front of him. He cared, and it wasn't a show. It wasn't superficial. It wasn't skin deep. It wasn't fake. Jesus truly loved. There's a lot of people in this world who need a meal, but I would venture to guess that there are even more people who just need love. And greatest of all, they need to know the love of Christ that should be transforming our lives. And if you can provide any piece of that, you have a mission. There are people in this church building who need love. There are people here who need to feel like they can be true. This can truly be a place where they feel connected and treasured. And if they can't find that here, then we need to change something. We have the opportunity every Sunday to love the people that God has put around us. To look at the people that God has placed in our church family. And to truly love. Specifically this morning, we're going to have a chance to gather around together, eating a meal. And the food might be a little bit different than what you're used to. Some of it you may look at and wonder what's in there. But the connection should be the same. The love shared should be the same. Jesus died for his church. He gave his life for the people that are sitting next to you. Can we choose to share a meal with the people that Jesus was willing to die for? Can we choose to love and care about the people that Jesus took nails for? While in Cambodia, we got to put on a VBS at one of the church plants that was just being built. And in between the church service that we got to have and the VBS that we put on, we got to share with them a meal. And the thing is, for many of these kids that came up, it was in the agricultural area of Cambodia, a very poor area, and many of these kids, this meal that they get to share on Sundays with their church family, some of it, that's the only meal that they'll have that day. For some of it, it's the only meal that they'll have that week. But during the course of the meal, a little boy came up with a pot. And they had been eating, they had been enjoying this meal, but this little boy came up and he wanted to share with us his pot of porridge. He wanted to share with us the meal that he had been given that may have been the thing to get him through that week because of love. We didn't have hardly a thing in common except for our God, except for our Savior, except for our Father. It's one of the things that hit home over there is if we can love the people on the other side of the world to give up comfort, to give up finances, to give up a meal. Why can it be so hard to love the people at home? The people that we see every week. Why can it be so hard to care about each other the same way that we care about the people we have nothing in common with? You have a mission field. Yes, it's out there, but we have a mission field to love one another as Christ loved us. Well, we pray that God will show us and will create in us a love for one another. Will you pray with me? Lord, let us love like you. God, you gave your life for us. God, you entered into this world and Lord, it wasn't about putting on a show. It was about expressing your heart. And God, you ate with those who were sinners. God, you reached out to those that we would look at and see enemies. But you loved them to the point where you made them sons and daughters. God, we pray that you will give us your love. That you will help us to know your love for the people next to us, for the people around us, for the people in the pews beside us, but also on the streets around us, in the towns that surround us. In this area, God, we just pray that you will give us that same love that you have for them. That, God, we will have your heart. That we will be changed by who you are. And that, God, we will reach out. God, we have a mission. Help us to carry it through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.